We're going to start at Proverbs 1, chapter 20. No, hang on. Rewind. Proverbs 1, verse 20. I don't think there is 20 chapters in Proverbs. Now, quite a few weeks ago, I did 1 to 19. So this is a follow-on. Unfortunately, it could have done with being a bit closer together. But you'll pick it up as we go along. In my book here, it's got a call of wisdom. Now, I didn't realise that wisdom was in there. But he often does that to me. I pick a hymn and then realise it fits in. So, starting at 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Now, here we have wisdom seemingly being identified as a person, as something that's alive. Not only that, but wisdom is a woman. Don't worry, I'm not going to get contentious. The Old Testament is not known for associating women with wisdom. You know, it's usually men, isn't it, and God and all that lot. Just bear with me, I will get there. But that's not to say women can't be wise. I'm sure we all know women who can be very wise. I'm married to one who's not too bad. And there are a few in the Bible. So that asks the question, why in this instance is it a woman? And on top of that, why is she raising her voice in the open square? As far as I know, women didn't in general in that day do that sort of thing. Also, who is this woman who is speaking? In Proverbs, it is the only time in Scripture that wisdom speaks. As in a person, if you will. But she also speaks in chapters 8 and 9. Maybe it's to get our attention. After all, as I was reading it, I thought, whoa, there's a woman speaking here, which is unusual. You see all the women's faces looking, thinking, where's he going with this, can't you? Where am I now? Oh, yeah. I've lost my place. Right, get your attention. Yeah. Or maybe it could be to give wisdom a gentle side. Showing it's there for our benefit. That she'll be listened to. Could he be saying that women can be wise as well as men? In verse 8 we read, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Could it be connected to her? The truth is, I don't know. I don't think anybody does. Well, apart from God, of course. So, at the end, it doesn't really matter. We know wisdom comes from God, and that is the key. But here in the book of Proverbs, we have our first encounter with what is called a personified voice of wisdom. So that's person and ified. She's speaking in public places and trying to get the attention of the nation. Wisdom is talking about the fate of those who reject wisdom. So who actually is speaking? Now, I could go through the Bible and point out all the different the likenesses, but at the end of the day, it is God. God is the voice of wisdom. Now, some might use this passage to say God has a feminine side or God is female, but that would be putting something in the scriptures that's not there. Now, when I did Proverbs 1 to 19, that looks at the instruction of the parents to their son. But this section is linked to it. Really, it's an extension of it. Both urge the young man, in the first part, to listen. Verse 8, my son, hear the instructions of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. But now in 33 it says, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. The Hebrew word for listen means listen and obey. So it's a richer word. It offers another indication that the speeches are to be read in light of each other. Both promise rewards. Parents like their teaching, liken their teaching to a garland and a necklace. In verse 9, for they will be grateful ornaments on your head and chains about your neck. While in 33 it says, wisdom offers safety and security. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. But in the first part, there's another voice. And that's the gang. Obviously, the gang represents evil. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Casting your lot among us, let us all have one purse. So they're trying to entice the son. But the parents and the wisdom join their voices to show that those rewards are false and short-lived. Both speak of a way that ends in disaster. So in 19 it says, so are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. And in verse 31 it says, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. Now the key words are wisdom, simple and fools. The gangs don't use these words, but wisdom does. The similarities show wisdom's speech is an extension of the parents' teachings. The parents quote wisdom's words as a counter to the speech of the gang. Her words are presented as a testimony that the teaching of the parents is true. It's the same when we quote from the Bible, isn't it? We're backing up what we say is scripture. So the first image that the listening son receives of wisdom is startling in a way. A woman raising her voice to speak in the town square. Certainly the picture sets wisdom apart in a set of roles distinct from those expected at the time. There are other persuasive women in the Bible such as Abigail in 1 Samuel 25, and the wise woman of Tekoa in 2 Samuel 14. But wisdom does not appeal and does not take a subservient role like these women did. She speaks with strong authority, setting herself over and against her audience. A bit like Deborah, the prophetess in Judges 4. She leads and she challenges. But yet, no woman ever spoke to crowds in the city this way. Wisdom does this, calls readers to attention. Verse 23, turn at my rebuke, surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called you. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. In 24, she starts a second address. Wisdom says she has called and called, but alas, it has fallen on deaf ears. A bit like today, isn't it? She's calling now, but still no one listens. I'm sure you remember, I remember it as a kid as well, when you stood at the door shouting for your children to come in for tea, and they totally ignore you. You know they can hear you. It's frustrating, isn't it? You can get a bit fed up. But when they finally answer, you forgive them, don't you? You love them. Wisdom is saying in verse 23, let my rebuke be heard, and I will surely pour out my spirit on you, and you will be able to hear my words. You will understand my words. But alas, you have turned your back on me. I have held out my hands, and no one responded, because you have refused my counsel and not listened to my rebuke. This is going to happen. So we'll go to verse 26. So what happens? Because of the rejection of wisdom, disaster and calamity comes upon them. And wisdom will laugh at this. The evil of the gang from the first part earlier was repaid with evil, as per the instructions of the parents. But so it will be for them who ignore wisdom. Wisdom's rebuke. As they mock, so will she. She will laugh as God laughs over the defeat of his enemies. And if you don't think that's right, look in Psalms. Psalm 2, 4, 37 and a few others. It's there. The next verse, in 27, it pictures a storm of ruin overtaking these detractors. The source of the calamity is not named. Wisdom does not bring about it. But she rejoices as it comes. Verse 28. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge, I did not choose the fear of the Lord. they would have none of my counsel, and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely, and will be secure without fear of evil. Wisdom's third address begins in verse 28. But just as wisdom called and no one responded, the call was refused. Now she refuses to answer when they call. If you look at Micah 3, verse 4, it shows God saying the same thing. Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, because they have been evil in their deeds. So they can look for her, they can shout out loud for her, but she will not be found. And just as God does in Micah, you may not have, but you may not have noticed, but at this point, wisdom now addresses them in a third person. They are now changing and addressing a wider audience. So if we imagine a crowd gathered to hear wisdom, the first speech makes a typical offer of correction to those who haven't been listening. The second singles out the fools who have rejected her. And the third turns from them to address a larger crowd. Jesus often did the same when, after controversy with the Pharisees or his disciples, he spoke to the larger crowd, hoping someone had been listening who would turn to hear more. In verses 29 and 30, we visit the charges against them from verse 22 and 23. And also verse 7 comes in as well. But this time it's a negative statement. If fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but wisdom's unresponsive audience has shown that it wants nothing to do with either. By the rejection of wisdom, it now shows it for what it really is: a rejection of the Lord. Wisdom goes on to make a point that their rejection was a choice, and not that they were ignorant of the fact. It leads to think that old saying, what goes around comes around. Wisdom goes on to say in verse 31, they shall eat the fruit of their own way. God will let them have their way, and they will get their fill with what pleases them. If you look at the connection between 30 and 31, it is especially significant. If the fools will not accept wisdom's advice, then their own schemes will be their rewards. So when their plans crash and they find themselves in trouble, that is their reward for turning their backs on wisdom and ultimately God. Where before God would respond and help, now he won't. People wonder why, when they look for help, they get none. It is entirely their own fault. They choose to turn their backs on God and are surprised when he doesn't respond to them. The reward is they are on their own and face what happens on their own. 32 and 33. Here we have a contrast of the two choices we have in life. In 32, turning your back on God leads to death. Their ways will destroy them in the end. Their complacency towards God will simply destroy them. The life they choose to lead will ultimately lead to death and not life. But in 33, it shows the better way. Whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure, without fear of evil. What a contrast to following your own way, which is death. But notice there's no more teaching after this. It's just a statement. Wisdom has the final word. But it still repeats what the parents have said earlier. Death for the simple and the fools. From 22 and 23. So wisdom ends with a warning. Choose your path and face your consequences. Death or life. Choose wisely. The final call promises safety to those who will listen. It offers confirmation to those who have already chosen to walk alongside wisdom's path. It encourages the reader to continue reading the book and to walk in the ways of wisdom. Now that's all well and good, understanding the passage, but how does it relate to us today? How does something written so long ago help us today? Well, the thing is, no matter if it is written in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, it is still the Word of God, and Scripture, all Scripture, is God-breathed. But you will find that all Scripture can be applied to our lives today. So let's just think about what has been said. Wisdom has delivered three separate messages. She acts as a wisdom teacher. She offers advice and rebuke. She calls the simple away from their simple ways by offering preventative counsel and correction. The Scripture does that. She calls us to repent and turn away from our present way of lives, just like the gospel does. It offers us new life if we only listen and respond to the warnings. Then she goes on to tell of the results of not responding and turning our backs on the voice of wisdom. She will do the same to us. When we start to look for her, she will not be there. Wisdom has called and called, but no response. It tells us that there will be a time when God calls and calls, and we do not respond, that God will not respond to us. It seems there's a time limit on this calling. Frightening thought, isn't it? But we don't know, as before we became Christians, we don't know how much God worked in our lives, how much he protects us. But there will come a time when God will let us get on with our own lives and face the consequences of our actions. We also see that it is our choice whether we listen to wisdom or turn our backs on her. In doing so, we are turning our backs on God. All this is relevant today. At the end of the day, we are all responsible for our own walk in life and the choices we make. One leads to death and destruction. The other leads to life and a future. In doing this, wisdom is supporting what the parents have said from verses 1 to 19. And we can see that instructing our children in the ways of God is not only good, but biblical. Message is clear, God calls, and it is up to us to respond. It's our choice. The same message is in the New Testament. God calls and we need to respond. We need to accept Jesus as our Saviour. And not turn our backs on God. We need to teach our children so that they understand that their choices have consequences and big ones. So in finishing, make the right choice in this life. And you will be happy. Make the wrong one, and you're on your own. Amen. Thank you for listening.